Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Of course, recently we preached all the way through the book of Romans in one sermon. So we'll go back and just cover one verse. So we'll go from one extreme to the other. But we're going to read a few verses, starting in verse 18. Romans chapter 1. Of course, the book of Romans outlines everything from man being lost and how he's gone astray. He's a sinner. Christ died for us. He made a plan of salvation that all men can be saved. Then it talks about the struggle of the old man, the new man, and it goes on to talk about the Jew. He's not finished with the Jew yet. So you see a progression of this doctrine of salvation all the way through the book of Romans. But it begins with man being in need, man lost. Starting in verse 18, Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, or we might say resist, the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In verse 21, it says that neither were thankful. There are a lot of things that are in the passage and several criticisms of men being lost and astray and people who've turned away from God. But one of the characteristics it mentions that you'd think is unusual when you talk about all unrighteousness and ungodliness and you read about being reprobate through the rest of the chapter and immorality. But one of the things it mentioned first is that they were not thankful. There was a little girl in the hospital who had cancer of the nervous system. And someone was so concerned for her, and they came to her and said, "Is there anything you need? Is there anything we can do for you?" And after she thought for a moment, she said, "Not really. I have my stickers and I have my Cabbage Patch doll. What more do I need?" Well, here is someone who is thankful for what little she had. But today we have people that have all kinds of things given to them, and they're not thankful for them. It's not enough. Should give more. Should do this for me. You owe me this. I have a right for this. It is a selfish, a me society in which we're living in now. The people are not thankful. I'll never forget my first trip to the Dominican Republic. I think I've been there 3 or 4 times. But my first trip to the Dominican Republic, and we were at one of these little barrios. You know what a barrio is? People will squat on a piece of property that's vacant. They'll get cardboard, tin, pallets, boards. They'll make a lean-to or some very, very rugged place that they can stay there. And when somebody starts, somebody else will join them. And before you know it, it's a small city of people squatting on this piece of property. And over time, a lot of those places actually become a town and registered in the city. But that's how they begin, by people squatting on the property, and then ultimately they say, "Well, they took it over, let's give it to them," and they get electricity and streets and all the rest. But this was a barrio, so I mean, it was poor. And I'll never forget, the missionary went in to talk to the mother and the little boys outside, and he had a broken bicycle rim. All the spokes were gone out of it. And it was nailed onto a tree. You know, it's listing. It's obviously not level, and it's not at 10 feet. But he was out there playing basketball, and I went out there and played basketball with him. You would have thought he was in the NBA on national television. It was great. He's so appreciated. His dad worked 7 days a week, was rarely home, made $5 a day. We held a service, and there were maybe 150 people, most of which were children, mothers, came to service, and they just were so happy and contented. They were thankful for what they have. And yet today, someone told me last week, he is a CPA, there was someone who was had seven children, all by different husbands, was not married, and through the government was collecting over $100,000 a year. And yet it wasn't enough. I mean, think about that. What has happened to our society that we can't be thankful for what we have? Parents, it's your responsibility. Make sure when your children get something from somebody, a Christmas present or money, make sure they write a note. Even if they don't want to, make them. They need to learn to be thankful for what they have. And sometimes, parents, it's better if kids don't get everything they want. This was a common statement that I remember when I was growing up, and it wasn't just my parents. Why can't I have this? Because I said so. That was the answer. Because I said so. Well, it didn't compute, but I had to take it because they weren't going to change. That was good enough. I said so. If you gave a child everything that he wanted and everything he saw, they're going to think they can have everything they see. They're going to think they deserve everything they see. Sometimes growing up without getting things is a blessing. Not getting things that you want is a good thing. Now, we love to give our children presents. We love to give them good things, and that's a good thing to do. But to give them everything they want is not. We have to be careful because we spoil them. And we do them an injustice so that when they get into life on their own, they don't know how to be thankful for what they have. It's one of the characteristics of the last days, people unthankful, unholy. Are we in the last days? Well, we're certainly in the spirit of the last days, without question. People who are not thankful for what they have. And by the way, just to plug this in, there are people who are not thankful for our country. Not realizing the sacrifices that people have made, the soldiers and young men that have given their lives or who have lost limb or have developed disease because of their service, for people who paid the price to develop the country and worked hard, built businesses, people who paid the price to give us freedom. And it's like a lot of people, they don't even know this exists. They've never heard of that before. All they're getting is, you deserve this. You have a right. You know, that's the day in which we live. But it's sad to see, and this passage, this is not something new, but it's sad to see the decline of the human race. And it goes through cycles. This is not just something for our society. And it's spelled out for us here in the book of Romans. You know, the evolutionists give us the idea that humans have evolved from a primitive form, ignorant, beast-like, ape-like, if you will, and now they've developed into the marvelous creatures that we are today. Paul says just the opposite. Man began at the highest of God's creatures and made himself into a beast. That's what he describes in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed into heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And it goes on to say, he gave them up to their vile affections. We see the wrath of God prevalent because they gave themselves up to unholiness and ungodliness. Turn with me quickly to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Remember in the book of Judges what it says? People did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, what they think is right in their own eyes may be ungodly and against God. Who's to make them the authority? The authority is God himself. And when you're not thankful to God, you're not thankful for who he is and what he has done for us, then where do we go? We go to man. We go to ourself. That was the problem. And ultimately, because they resisted God, he gave them up. He turned them over. All right, you want to live that way? Go ahead. Live that way. Isn't that basically what happened at the time of the flood? Where only one family was saved? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They lived vile, wicked lives. No one was saved except that one family. Some suggest there may have been a billion people on the face of the earth at that time. And there's only one family that was righteous. How would you like to have lived then? Here you meet people periodically that are saved and they know the Lord. That's a great blessing. Imagine you never saw another person that was saved. And there's Noah, the preacher of righteousness, telling people, get right with God, the flood's coming. You better get on the ark. There had to be people to help build it. They were part of it, and yet never got in it. Why? People thought they were smarter than God. God said, all right, go ahead. I'll turn them over to it. So he gave them up to their uncleanness and up to their idolatry. Look at verse 24, chapter 1 of Romans. Wherefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He gave them up to those vile affections. They did what they wanted to do, what they thought was right. He turned them over to those passions. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Could I just say one thing today? We live in a day where you don't have an option to say homosexuality is against God. Even though you might love everybody, you're not out trying to hurt people or be derogatory toward them. If you don't celebrate it, you're in trouble. You have to agree that it's good. If you don't agree that it's good, then you're in trouble. I mean, there's something wrong. Ultimately, God gave them up to this. And that was a downfall of Sodom and Gomorrah, a downfall of the times of Noah. And it was a downfall even in the Roman Empire. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He gave them up. This is the revelation of the wrath of God that they gave them up to their own life. Now imagine what kind of a lifestyle would they have? Not just about homosexuality, but just living for yourself, living selfishly, living in sin, doing what you think is right. What would that be like? There's a little story. It's years ago it was on a record. Now for some of you that are young, that's a plastic disc. It has little tiny grooves in it. You put an arm on it, and it plays sound. You can hear music. You can hear talking. And there was on a LP long play album, record, plastic vinyl record, there was this story. And this little girl in class said, why do we have rules in class? I wish there were no rules. And finally the teacher said, all right, there are no rules in class. And before you know it, the class is out of control. Spit wads, paper wads thrown at people, pulling girls' hair, fist fights occurring. And they realized no rules is not a good thing because I'm getting hurt. And the teacher proved the point that there has to be some rules. Without it, it's chaos. Imagine what that would have been like in the time of Noah, giving them up to their vile affections to do whatever they wanted. That they're hurting themselves. They're ruining their own lives. I mean, it's not safe. If you give over our cities to anarchists, how safe is that? What is that? How can you have a business? How can you have a job, make money? How can you live there? You have to have rules. You have to have standards. But God gave them over to that, to do whatever they wanted. That was punishment of itself, to live a vile, ungodly life. So he gave them up to their own heart's desire. They walked in their own counsel. They did not retain God in their knowledge. And they had a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The sins listed are vile. All the things are of the flesh and carnal. People know that sin will be judged, but yet they take pleasure in it anyway. They like it. That's what the flesh does. We're all prone to that, to do what we think feels good. But God has given us guidelines and laws to protect us. And if we fail to follow that, then we end up becoming a slave to our own passion. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says that, "Thanks be unto God that giveth this unspeakable gift." Because you're saved and know the Lord, we don't have to live that way. Those in the world that reject God and they worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship men, the philosophies of men. They worship sin and lust. They don't know the freedom that's found in Christ. But think, folks, we're saved from that, delivered from that. Where would we be but by the grace of God? We have to be thankful. One preacher was going to a big meeting, a revival meeting. And in those days, you walked to the meeting. There were no automobiles. And as he was walking in a big city, he got mugged and robbed. And he came to the church unshaveled, clothes tattered, face bruised, and got up in the pulpit and preached. And after he preached, someone asked him, "What in the world happened?" And they told him the story. He said, "Oh, I feel so sorry for him that all that happened." He said, "Well, I thank God I was not the perpetrator, but by the grace of God, that would have been me. I'd rather be the recipient than the one that lived that kind of life." That's a great observation, that thank God we're not the ones living that way. We have to be thankful for what God has given us and where we are. To sit in church, to have the freedom, the joy we have to be in church tonight, to have the Bible, no one's going to take it from you. But it may be short-lived. Maybe there'll be a day we can't, but we can now. If you go to China, we just had our missionary. They have an underground church. I've been there many, many years. It's children now. They've started other churches, and it's children are starting churches. They're under threat every week, every week. They move from one place to another. Sometimes every week they had to meet in a different place. And yet, they saw the church grow. They saw people saved and lives changed. People called into the ministry, people trained and out serving the Lord. We don't know what that's like. Some of the people that have come from dictatorships and communist countries and socialist countries, they know what it's like. The elite, they have everything, but everybody else is suppressed and they're controlled by the dictator. That's what socialism does. But when people aren't thankful for what they have, we could end up in that same boat. We are vulnerable. We have to be careful. Romans 1:19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." There is an intelligent, articulate conviction as we look at everything around us, all the things that are made, creation. We have the testimony that came from somewhere. Everybody has that. The other thing that we have is the inner dwelling of the conscience that God gives us. It is the outer revelation of creation, but it is the inner conviction or the inner revelation that helps us understand who God is. But when people reject that, people say, "I don't care where this started. I don't care about what anybody else thinks." They go their own way. They're not thankful. But it says you can tell even the Godhead. That means all about God, His holiness and the nature of God, the triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. All the working of God and who He is revealed even as we look at nature and in the inner conscience of man. There's something about even the smallest child, they start doing something they know is wrong, they're getting into trouble, they're looking back. Is anybody watching? Oh, I can do this. I can get by with this. No one taught them that. There was something in their heart. They knew what they were doing was wrong, yet they're going to try and do it. A big person just does the same thing, just more consequences. Can I get by with this? Is anybody looking? Remember when Cain slew Abel, he looked this way and that way. You know, he took his brother's life. He thought, I'll get by with this. Who did he think he was going to blame this on? It was just the two of them. As far as we know, it's just the two of them. But there was such hatred in his heart that it rose up within him to disobey God. So we have a picture then that man has the voice of God within his heart and visibly in creation around him. We know this world came from somewhere. It all started somewhere. You look at the human race, it had to begin somewhere. Where did it start? How did it begin? And that testimony resonates in our heart. And I believe clearly that Scripture teaches us if we accept the light we're given, God gives us more light. If we reject the light we're given, then we don't receive more light. And if a person says, I know it came from somewhere, God will bring them more light. Till ultimately they hear the word of God, understand, and can be saved. But it says they became vain. To become vain means self-conceited, foolish, frivolous in their thoughts, acting foolishly, useless, frivolous questions, accusations. The effect was to lead the mind further and further from the truth respecting God. You see what happened when someone's not thankful for what they have, and they just think in a conceited way, here's what I want. It leads them down a path to destruction. And it goes on to use the word imaginations. Now, imagination is a good word to think about. The imaginations are thoughts that enter the mind. And those thoughts enter the mind are not all good. Sometimes I believe Satan puts thoughts in the mind. Sometimes thoughts reoccur from experiences in the past. Sometimes I think God gives us thoughts in our mind. But this thought of imagination means there were disputations or speculations. It's a negative connotation. They were unwilling to honor God. And in their own mind, they thought, wow, if I get involved in this heathen practice, I'm going to benefit from it. Our crops are going to grow. We'll have more things. The flesh will be satisfied. I'll be happy. And they basically did what was right in their own eyes. Because the imaginations went wild, and they thought, oh, how this is going to be great. There have been people who destroy their marriage because their imagination, thinking about someone else that was forbidden. And they allow that imagination to continue until it brought destruction. This first section deals with sin all the way through chapter 3. In the closing verses of chapter 1, he explains how man got into this darkness, how it engulfs him, how he is so lost, all the steps that go downward. Later, he talks about the remedy. The victory is found in Jesus Christ. The victory is found in putting your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. But there are steps that were taken. First of all, it says they knew God. In verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I'm missing the verse here. Verse 20, that for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They knew God. They had a conscience of God. It was revealed to them, but they turned away from God. So the knowledge they had was an understanding he was there. There are a lot of people that will say, oh yeah, I believe there's a God. But they don't know what that means. They don't know who he is. They don't know how to accept him. They don't know how to live for him. They've not heard a clear plan of salvation.
So they had the evidence of the knowledge of the existence of God, but it never went beyond that. And the ignorance gradually worked its way up through their intelligence until they rejected all the things about knowing God. All this springs from the fact they were not thankful for what God had done. They started with a high consciousness of God and turned away from it to become more like a beast. Chapter 2 talks about how God judges his people who are taken up in sin. And verses 21 through 23 talks about how they glorified him not as God. Their vain thinking, their foolish reasoning, all of that turned men from the truth to lies. It's remarkable how so many people today believe lies. You hear stuff in the news media, you can't believe anything. And it's just filled with so many lies. And then they have truth detectors. You have to have truth detectors for the truth detectors, because the truth detectors tell lies, and it's not true. It's like people lack discernment to be able to figure out what's right and wrong. And the Bible talks about how truth can be turned around backwards. Good becomes bad. It's really incredible. The people can't think and reason for themselves, but it all goes back to they're not thankful unto God. They look to themselves and the flesh and what they want, and it taints their thinking. They become ignorant. They honor the creature, including honoring man, more than honoring God. If you were out in the world, somebody, just a group of people, they're unsaved, maybe at work or wherever, and you talk about the latest rock star, American Idol, well-known athlete, celebrity, people would be perfectly comfortable. They wouldn't have a problem talking about it. The latest movie, they're perfectly comfortable. You start talking about the Bible and about God, oh, you got religion. Oh, you know, people scatter. It's like turning on the lights and all the insects hit the exits. First time somebody witnessed to me, I'm in shop class in high school, and all the students like headed for the exits. They, whoo, the teacher's got religion. Watch out. Isn't that interesting? Why would you do that? Why? Sometimes people say, oh, I don't talk about religion. So they put up their defenses. Wouldn't you want to know if you're going to heaven or hell? Wouldn't you know if there's truth? But they put up this wall and remain in ignorance. They're not willing even to discuss. They're not even willing to talk about it. Some of you know, your family, you try to talk to them. They won't even talk to you. They're immediately, oh, don't talk to me about that. You see what it is? Satan messes with their mind and their ignorance prevails. Honoring the creature more than the creator. And they change the truth of God into a lie. That word change is really exchanged. They replace God's word with Satan's lies. There are a lot of lies that unconsciously people hear or think that he puts in their mind. Hey, I can get involved in the drug crowd and gangs and, you know, this is not a problem. This is going to be a good thing. Well, you know that's a lie of the devil. That's not going to work out that way. You think you can be immoral and it's going to be all right. You know it doesn't work that way. You can steal things or shoplift and you think, oh, you know, this ain't going to hurt anybody. In your business, you can take things from, oh, my employee's got a lot of money, I'll just take. And, you know, we rationalize certain things and think, you know, I'm justified in what I did. We actually take the truth of God and we change it with Satan's lie that this is right. One of the things that's important for us to realize, we should learn to respect authority. Starting with the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. Why? Remember, it's the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That your life might be long on the earth. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor father and mother. Respect those and submit to all authority. All those things are important. But today, oh no. Who do they think they are? Tell me what to do. You looking at me? What? Who do you think you are telling me that? These are the responses that we're hearing. And they don't realize it's to their detriment. Learning to respect authority is a good thing. Now, kids, listen to me. Listen to me. If you grow up in a home learning to respect your parents, obey, and do what they tell you to do, and you follow their guidelines, there are going to be some people think you're strange. And when you get older, you're going to look at them and think they're strange. Because they grew up without discipline, without respect, and now you're going to see where it led their life. You're going to see the mess they've made. It's important to respect those in authority. But instead, Satan gives his lies and they change the truth to a lie. Good becomes bad. People who are holy, people in authority, tear them down. Get rid of the police. We don't need them. On and on the list goes. Anyone in authority, tear them down. And you tear down the authority, you tear down the structure of society. Doesn't mean everybody's right. I'm sure my parents made some mistakes. I'm sure as a parent I made some mistakes. But don't make the mistake of tearing down the authority that's over you. Follow the authority and be thankful for having parents that care enough to help you live a life that's honoring to the Lord. Remember what Satan did? He tried to get Christ to cast himself down. Remember the temptation? Make the stone to bread. He was attempting to do what he does to everybody else, to violate the word of God, to do it your way, to follow the flesh and feed the flesh. So they held down the truth and exchanged the truth for a lie. The truth, believed and obeyed, sets us free in John chapter 8. It sets us free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. The truth rejected and disobeyed makes us slaves to sin. That's what it does. And then they rejected the knowledge of God. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They rejected the knowledge of God. They had a clear knowledge of God, verse 19, verse 21. There's judgment for their sin in verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When Jesus cleansed the lepers, how many came back and thanked him? One. There's a story years ago about a man that worked on a rescue crew up in Lake Michigan from Illinois. And one night there was a terrible shipwreck, and the man went in the water. He saved 17 people. And it was a cold water in Lake Michigan, the time of year that they were there. But because of his effort, his health deteriorated and died prematurely because of his efforts to save those 17 people. At his funeral, it was noted, not one of those 17 people ever thanked him for what he did. Think about that. Took it all for granted. Turn with me to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. By the way, to be a fool is an awful thing. How sad. No one needs to be a fool, but there are people that become fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. Anyone that doesn't call upon God and seek him is a fool. They are taking the chance that they're going to lose their life for eternity. That someday they'll find out that they didn't accept Christ and they go to hell and they're there for eternity. It'd be foolish to reject the gospel and not accept Christ as their Savior and have eternal life. As Christians, we have to remember, let's be thankful for what we have. Let's not get caught up in a me syndrome. Poor me. I need this. I deserve this. Let's be thankful for what little we have, although we have much. Someone wrote this, and I'll close with this. For me, when I whine. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But as she passed, a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. We have every reason to be thankful. Thankful God has been good to us. Let's bow for prayer.